of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. That's the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We just recently completed a study of chapter 2, which deals with the value of wisdom. In chapter 3, the author emphasizes the excellence of wisdom. And in this chapter, there is a fourfold revelation that wisdom is justified of all her children. In verses 1 to 10, we have a record of wisdom's wholehearted devotion. In verses 11 and 12, wisdom's salutary chastening. In verses 13 to 20, wisdom's enviable heritage. And verses 21 to 35, wisdom's blessed assurance. Now today we're going to consider part of verses 1 to 10. And these verses form a series of five couplets of two verses each, with the underlying maxim, wholehearted devotion to God must lead to well-being. All right, let's look at a few of these verses in Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. In these two verses, we read of the obedience of wholehearted devotion. This has to do with moral wisdom. And moral wisdom is seen in not forgetting God's law, but keeping the commandments of the Lord. The principle is stated in verse 1, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. The negative aspect is, forget not my law. That is, give mental observance to my teaching. Now, the word law in the Old Testament, translated from the Hebrew word Torah, which means instruction. It is used variously in the Old Testament, but I believe right here it has reference to the general instruction that the father is giving to his son. And, of course, Solomon, in this particular capacity, is representative of Almighty God, and therefore God gives such instruction to you and me if we're Christians. Now, we are to keep in our minds the truth of the instruction of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, the first psalm begins by telling us that the delight of the blessed man is in the law or the instruction of the Lord, and in that law does that blessed man meditate day and night. So forget not my law simply means keep the instruction of God in one's mind so as to observe the general teachings of the Word of God. The positive statement of this principle is let thine heart keep my commandments. Of course, this refers to heart obedience. The heart is to the spiritual man what the physical heart is to the physical person. Out of the heart are the issues of life. And the heart, then, is the seat of one's emotions, one's affections, and one's volition. And consequently, when the heart keeps the commandments, the specific instructions, commands of Almighty God, That means that his emotional life is conditioned by keeping the commandments of God. His affectionate life is conditioned by keeping the commandments of God, and his will or volition is conditioned by keeping the commandments of God. So the principle, then, regarding the obedience of wholehearted devotion is stated both negatively and positively. Forget not my law, let thine heart keep my commandments. Now, to the person who heeds this instruction, there is this promise made: for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So the promise made here is that there will be great and growing peace. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we read, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." In referring to this, the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is good. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Back in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 20, Moses says that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, and so forth. So the promise is made to the person who heeds the instruction given in verse 1, that he will enjoy length of days. He will enjoy long life. And he will not only enjoy length of days and long life, but he will enjoy peace. Peace shall be added to thee. So it will be great and growing peace, and length of days will be the lot of the person who obeys verse 1. In the 119th Psalm, in verse 165, the psalmist says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That is, nothing shall cause them to stumble. So we have in these two verses, then, the obedience of wholehearted devotion. If I am wholly devoted unto the Lord, then it will inevitably follow that I will be obedient unto what he says. This has to do with moral wisdom. In the second place, in verses 3 and 4, we have recorded for us the testimony of wholehearted devotion. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now, this has to do with social wisdom. That is, the testimony to our fellow men that comes from wholehearted devotion unto the Lord. Now, the principle is stated in verse 3, again, both negatively and positively. First, negatively, the writer says, "Let not forsake thee." And what was his son not to let forsake him? Mercy and truth. The word mercy is the translation of that very interesting and significant word, hesed. The basis of this word is probably love. It's usually used in connection with God as it's related to the covenant God made with the nation Israel. Some have translated this word loyal love, and it does involve both of these concepts. It has reference to loyalty. Loyalty to a covenant. Loyalty to a contract. And so what this verse says is, let not mercy, that is, let not loyalty to your covenant forsake thee. Do not be unfaithful. Do not prove to be infidelic in your relationship to Almighty God. And truth. Truth, of course, has reference to conviction. And therefore, it involves faithfulness as well. Mercy, this word hesed, carries with it the idea of compassion, or loving kindness. And so these two words catch up in them the two concepts of compassion and conviction, or loving kindness and faithfulness. And it has to do with our relationship to God and our relationship to men. So as we claim to trust Almighty God and to know Him as our Savior, as we claim to be children of God, then this will be manifested negatively in the fact that we will not allow mercy and truth to forsake us. But the positive side of this principle is bind them and write them. Notice, it says, bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. Bind what and write what? Well, mercy and truth, compassion and conviction, loving kindness and faithfulness. Bind them about thy neck. They are to become the abiding ornaments around the neck of one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but they are to be written upon the table of the heart. So they are to be the abiding affections. And so mercy and truth are to be as ornaments before men. Mercy and truth are to be the control of our affections toward Almighty God. And to that person who does not allow mercy and truth to forsake them and does bind them about his neck and write them upon his heart, there's a promise made in verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. In other words, a person will grow in favor with God and man. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ, who submitted himself to his parents when he returned to the little city of Nazareth, the Word of God says, and the child grew in stature and in favor with God and man. So in these first four verses, we have two great truths set forth. First of all, the obedience of wholehearted devotion, which is moral wisdom, not forgetting God's law, but keeping the commandments of God in the heart. And the testimony of wholehearted devotion, which is social wisdom, not allowing mercy and truth to forsake us, but bind them about our necks and write them upon the tables of our hearts. And of course, this is done as we appropriate the grace of God through the blessed Word of God. May this be our portion today and on through life.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.